This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Imagine staying at luxury hotels like the Waldorf Astoria in Costa Rica just for a fraction of the price. Today we're sitting down with German Sandvall, the creator who skyrocketed to 200,000 followers in just a couple months by showing the world how to have luxury stays like the wealthy for a fraction of the cost. German's here to break down the exact strategy behind buying points and when it makes sense so you can score those incredible $1,500 a night resorts for 80% off, as well as a realistic take on some destinations that may not be worth all the hype. Plus, we'll dive into his recent trip to Kauai and how he flew there round trip for less than $200 without using any points. If you want to master luxury travel without the luxury price tag, this episode is a must listen.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, we have an amazing guest for you, German Sandvall. German has been killing it in the points and miles space. He's a wealth of knowledge and an amazing content creator. He jumped to 200,000 followers on Instagram in just 2 months. He's got an expertise in using points and miles and talking through specifically using points for luxury hotel stays, even when it means having to buy those points, which is a topic I think we don't really get into a lot. And I think it's going to be amazing for you guys to hear and then go back and see a lot of German's content in the points and hotel booking space. I know also German just returned from a beautiful trip to Hawaii, so we're going to unpack that as well. German, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So German, tell me, where in the world are you? Where are you from? And then how'd you get into the points and miles space?
Yeah, so I am from a little country called Estonia. It's in Europe. I moved to the States when I was 13. I am currently living in Austin, Texas. And when I was in college in Michigan, I started an e-commerce business. So you have to buy inventory, you have to, you know, spend money on advertising. And so from that, I got a good amount of points and just started doing a lot of research on how to use those points properly. And, you know, one thing led to another. And now, you know, I travel quite a bit using those points. So yeah.
That's really cool. I absolutely love Austin, Texas. Best barbecue I've ever had in my life was at the Salt Lick there. So I can't speak highly enough about Austin. It's such a fun place. Been there so many times.
It's an awesome place. Yeah.
It absolutely is. So you had an e-commerce business that you started racking up points, and then had to strategize on how to most efficiently use those points, which is awesome because I feel like a lot of business owners, they just start racking up points and they just do the default way of, you know, using the portals and such to spend those points. And you went to another layer. Did you make, I don't say the mistake because this is what most people do, but did you burn a lot of points initially doing the portal method, or did you immediately before you spent a single point were like, let me figure out the most efficient way to use these?
Absolutely. I've wasted probably hundreds of thousands of points, specifically Chase points. So my go-to credit card for purchasing inventory has been the Chase Inc. Business Unlimited, 1.5% back on everything. And I had saved up hundreds of thousands of Chase points. And during COVID, because people weren't traveling, Chase had this promotion where you could pay yourself back using the, I believe, the multiple, the 1.5 multiple, if you had the reserve, so you could pay yourself back. And I cashed in a ton of those points, which I guess wasn't terrible at the 1.5 cents per point. But yeah, definitely could have used them better. But yeah, I've made quite a few mistakes before I learned how to do it properly. And I'm sure I still make mistakes, but definitely using my points better at this time.
I think we all do. Most of us have gotten in the points world. If we just kind of stumbled into it, right, with the Amex or the Chase card, we basically did the same thing. I think I blew a few hundred thousand points early with the Chase Sapphire Reserve when it first came out, when I first got it. So I feel the sympathy, but of course now we look back and we say, man, that was a stupid idea, but now we know how much better we can use these points for as well. So not terrible, but of course we can get so much more value out of it. So German, question for you. Let's start talking a little bit about points and miles and strategies for luxury travel, right? What are some of your top tips, do you think, of, as far as getting in the points and miles space and getting redemptions for luxury? Because you have stayed in some pretty amazing places. How do you go about doing it?
So I follow a pretty simple point strategy. And fun fact, I have never flown business or premium economy once in my life. Never. It's always been economy. So once I get into that, my strategy might change a little bit. But at this time, all of my Chase points go towards Hyatt hotels. And then all of my American Express or Capital One points, they go towards flights. And usually it's going to be Air France or KLM flights to Europe. And the best way of amassing a lot of points is going to be through sign-up bonuses. So applying for different credit cards. And so when you apply for a specific credit card, it usually has a spend requirement. And once you hit the spend requirement, it gives you, you know, a good amount of points. So for example, Chase Sapphire Preferred right now has a 60,000 bonus points as a sign-up bonus plus $300 as a travel credit. So that's an increased offer. It could be a good time to apply for that credit card. And so you just, my specific strategy is to apply for different credit cards one after another, hit the spend requirement, hit the sign-up bonus, move on to a different credit card. That's really the best way that you can get a lot of points quickly. And then again, you know, using them in a smart way, not wasting your points. And for me specifically, it's all my Chase points go to Hyatt hotels and all of my American Express and other points go towards flights.
So what's your time length that you typically go to between applying for different cards? Everyone kind of has their rule of thumb, or some people, they are a lot more aggressive with it, especially early on. Some people are too aggressive with it early on. What's usually your time frame between, okay, I've applied for this card today and then waiting till the next card that you're going to apply for?
So I usually get about 3 to 5 different credit cards, new credit cards per year. As far as the timing goes, I don't follow a specific, like a lot of people will say, one credit card every 3 months. So I don't quite do that. Sometimes I will get 2 credit cards in 2 months and then I won't get another one for, you know, 6 months or something like that. But on average, I'd say I get about 3 to 5 new credit cards per year. And as far as, you know, spacing them out, I don't have a specific amount, but what I usually recommend people who are, you know, wanting to apply for a credit card, for credit cards in an aggressive manner, I would probably say 1 to 2 credit cards per quarter is probably the max that I would recommend.
That's awesome. And so are you focusing more so on personal cards, or do you mix in the personal cards with the business cards as well? Because I remember you mentioned that you've been using the Chase Business Inc. Unlimited card. So do you have a kind of a variety of on the personal and business side, more so business, more so personal? How do you do it?
So I have a mix of both. But it really depends on the sign-up bonus and the benefits of the card. So for the longest time, I was actually using a Chase Freedom Unlimited for all of my business purchases. I'm not sure why I didn't get a business credit card, and this was one of the mistakes because, you know, when you use a business credit card, it doesn't really affect your personal credit. So if I bought, say, $10,000 worth of inventory on my personal Freedom Unlimited card, you know, it would show up on my credit report as high utilization. And so in that case, you know, it was a very smart move for me to switch to an Inc. Business Unlimited so that it doesn't affect my credit, my personal credit. But yeah, I have a mix of both, and it really depends on the benefits of the card, the sign up bonuses. So a lot of the credit cards the business versions have a much higher sign-up bonus, so I'll opt for the business version of that card. But sometimes I have personal versions of that credit card as well.
Very nice. And so in this process, I think a lot of people, they sometimes get wrapped up around the thought process of, man, you're getting all these cards. How do you navigate which cards to use? Do you have more so your daily drivers, the ones that you kind of, you know, once you hit the sign-up bonus on one card, are you still only using that card, or do you go back to a what we would call a daily driver, one that you just kind of use for everything?
So I would say my daily driver is probably the Chase Freedom Unlimited, 1.5% back on everything. And then I have different credit cards for dining, you know, travel purchases, you name it. There's usually a credit card that I have for that specific category. But I don't follow that strategy often because, once again, I jump from sign-up bonus to sign-up bonus. And if I'm not working on a sign-up bonus, I have a couple of credit cards that have a calendar year spend requirement that gives me a free night certificate. So, for example, no longer the Amex Hilton business credit card, if you spend $15,000 in the calendar year, they give you a free night certificate. So obviously they've moved away from that benefit, but there's also the American Express Hilton Surpass credit card that still has that same benefit. If you spend $15,000 in the calendar year, you get one Hilton free night certificate. And if I'm not working on a sign-up bonus, usually I'm swiping that credit card and that credit card only just so that I'm working towards that $15,000 threshold.
Very cool. So I want to take a step back. You mentioned that you typically use your Chase points for Hyatt hotels and you use Amex and Capital One for your airlines. And I know you mentioned that you've never flown business class, you've always focused on economy, which I think is very fair because an economy ticket can cost a quarter of what a business class ticket will be. But I also will say, once you get your first taste of business class, you're not going to want to go back. So just be prepared for that. For the listeners out there, I'm telling you, once you experience business class long haul, it's a game changer. So a lot of the content that you share is based on buying points to maximize stays at some pretty incredible places. I mean, you've posted about Waldorf Astoria Costa Rica, I think it was. You've had some pretty amazing places that you've posted about that are $2,000-$3,000 per night, and you're getting them for 50 to 80% off. Can you share how you do that and when it makes sense?
So one thing that might come as a surprise, I have actually never bought a single Hilton point in my life. In fact, I don't think I've ever bought a single hotel or airline point in my life. All of the points that I get are from credit cards, spending or sign-up bonuses. I personally have over 20 different credit cards, personal and business. And when I originally started making content, I started telling people that, hey, if you apply for the, you know, Hilton Aspire credit card, you will get 175,000 Hilton points, right? And you can use those Hilton points to stay, you know, at a Waldorf Astoria Cabo or a Waldorf Astoria Costa Rica, you name it, you can get a night there. And everybody in the comments goes crazy. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe you're suggesting that I apply for a credit card. I don't need a credit card. Why would I get a credit card? And so what I learned is that the public, or a lot of the public, has a misunderstanding about credit cards. They think that credit cards are bad. In fact, I've had conversations with family members, right, where I'm like, you know, I can't believe they don't teach us about credit cards in high school. And the person's like, yeah, don't get one. And I'm like, no, actually quite the opposite, like get one. And so I learned that there's a misconception about credit cards. And when I started posting content about applying for different credit cards to get the benefits, to get the points that you can use for luxury travel, or it doesn't even have to be luxury travel, just regular travel, you know, people would go crazy in the comments. And so then I started creating content about, you don't have to apply for credit cards. You can still get the benefits of credit card points and luxury travel at a fraction of the cost without applying for credit cards. And, you know, I figured out that Hilton is really the best for, as far as hotel stay go, Hilton is the best for that. And so I started creating a good amount of content on buying Hilton points instead of applying for credit cards to get those points. But in those same videos, I still mention, hey, you know, you can also apply for credit cards and get those points essentially for free if you hit the minimum spend, right? Besides the annual fee. But, you know, if you're buying Hilton points, you're spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. If you're applying for credit cards and you are using them to spend money that you would spend otherwise, your out-of-pocket cost for those points is just the annual fee, which is, you know, could be $100, $200. So it's significantly cheaper than buying them.
And I like one thing that you mentioned that you made sure to put in there, as long as you're using your cards to spend on things that you would already be spending on, right? And as a financial advisor, one of the things I always have to stress when we're talking about this world of points and miles is we still have to be financially responsible. So we're not going out here, and those of us that thrive in this points and miles world, we're not going out there getting a credit card and just blowing money on things that we don't need or would never get just so we can hit the spend, right? If we're, like you said, buying groceries or going out to dinner, or if it's gas for a car, whatever it may be, we're going to spend that. We're just going to use it on a card that's going to maximize the value and hit that spending requirement. So I just want to like throwing out that preface out there, because it's really important for people to realize, like you said, I think the thought process around credit cards is negative because of the amount of people that are in substantial debt, and interest can work very aggressively against you because many of these points and miles cards do have 20% APR on them. But if you never actually carry a balance and you always pay it off, you never pay the interest. Right. So I think it's really important. And I love the fact that you brought that up, because it's super important to mention that being responsible financially is the key in this world.
Absolutely. One thing that I would also add to that is that you have to pay off your credit card every month. You cannot carry a balance. So, you know, a lot of people reach out to me and they say, hey, you know, I have a large purchase. That's coming up, you know, what credit card would you recommend with 0% APR? And I honestly don't have any recommendations, because I have never carried a balance in my life. You know what I mean? So if you're watching my videos or somebody else's videos and you're thinking to yourself, okay, I got to get these credit cards, I'm going to put a ton of money on them, but then you don't pay them off, paying the interest fees completely offsets any kind of travel that you're going to do. So 100%, you have to use them responsibly. Credit cards are a great tool for travel, but only if you use them properly. And, you know, if you are financially disciplined and you know how to use them properly, you pay off your credit card every month, they could be a great tool.
Absolutely. And so, German, I want to go back a little bit. Can you explain a little bit of the thought process in a little bit more detail for the listeners about why it makes sense, if you're not going to decide to go the, you know, getting a card, signing up, sign up bonus, rack up points that way, when can it make sense to actually buy Hilton points for one of these stays? How does the math work out logically? And we don't have to get into the very specific numbers unless you actually have those memorized, 'cause I know it's going to vary. But can you just talk through the thought process about, you know, why would it make sense to buy Hilton points as an example?
So with Hilton specifically, their hotels are priced in a certain way that allows us to get a really good deal at luxury properties by buying points. Some of their cheaper properties, you're actually going to lose money if you buy points and then book those cheaper properties using points. For me, usually when I'm looking for these deals, I'm looking for hotels that are at least $600 to $700 per night, because then I know that I'm going to get a good deal by buying points. And that's because a cheaper property that goes for maybe $300 to maybe $400 per night is going to cost roughly 80 to 100,000 points per night, maybe 80 to 90,000 points per night. But a property like a Waldorf Astoria Maldives that goes for $2,000 to $3,000 per night costs only 150,000 Hilton points per night. So you can see that it's not, the award pricing is not proportionate to the cash rates. And so if you're looking for a luxurious stay, definitely look at Waldorf Astoria's or Hilton's LXR properties, because those usually have very high cash rates. But because of the award pricing structure that Hilton has, you can greatly benefit by buying points and then booking those hotels using the points you just bought. And usually it comes down to at least 50% off. Sometimes it could be as much as 90% off during peak dates or holidays. It can be really crazy.
And I know you often mention when doing this, you also often talk about periods when Hilton's offering like a bonus for buying points. How does that help someone that's doing this strategy? They're looking to buy their Hilton points. When does a bonus come in that could be a benefit?
So Hilton usually runs bonuses nonstop. So in their marketing, it says, I think like their current bonus, it says ends on November 24th or maybe November 27th. Come November 28th, they're going to have another likely 100% bonus with an increase to the limit of the points that you can buy. So usually Hilton, if you're in the United States, Hilton limits you to 160,000 points per calendar year. That's how much you can purchase. And obviously some of the luxurious properties like the Waldorf Astoria Maldives or Waldorf Astoria Cabo, they're charging 120,000 points per night. So if you can only buy 160, that gets you one night. You're not going to do that and fly to Cabo just to stay there for one night. It doesn't make sense. And so that's where these promos come in handy. So with a 100% point bonus promo, if you're buying 160,000 points, you're now getting 320,000 points for the same price because it's a promo. They match the 100% of the points that you buy. So you pay for 160,000, you get 320. Now, all of a sudden, you can get two nights at the Waldorf Astoria Cabo, for example, because their price is 120,000 points per night. Now, they also sometimes have a limit increase. So as I mentioned earlier, any account is only able to buy 160,000 points. During these promos, they sometimes increase that to 240,000 points. So now you can buy 240,000 points, 100% bonus match. Now you're getting 480,000 points, which is enough to get five nights at the Waldorf Astoria in Cabo if you have Hilton's fifth night free benefit. So now all of a sudden you can get a five night trip for only $2,400. And that trip would normally cost you, you know, $8,000 to $10,000 in cash. So you're saving 80% or so.
That's an amazing breakdown, right? So you pay roughly $2,000 to buy all these points to get a $10,000 stay. You didn't have to open up a single card to do that, but having an incredible stay. But can you mention, let's go back a little bit. You mentioned the fifth night free benefit. Can you explain a little bit more about what that is?
So if you have Hilton Silver, Gold, or Diamond status, you are given a benefit that's called the fifth night free benefit. And essentially, if you're staying for five nights, you're only paying for four. And this is only when you're paying with points and all of the nights are standard reward nights. That is, we can discuss the standard reward nights after this, but that's the Hilton fifth night free benefit. And the easiest way to get the Hilton's fifth night free benefit is through Hilton status, such as Hilton Silver status, which is their lowest tier. And that status is pretty easy to get. You get the status with any Hilton credit card, or you also get Hilton Gold with an American Express Platinum or a Business Platinum credit card. And another way that you can get Hilton Silver status is if you're a T-Mobile Magenta Max plan holder. So if you get your cellular service through T-Mobile and you're on a Magenta or a Magenta Max, I believe, you get Hilton Silver status for free.
And I love that because I've had Hilton Gold status now for, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years. And purely just because, like you said, through the Amex, well, I have the personal and the business platinum, but through the Amex platinum cards, we automatically get Hilton Gold status and have these benefits. We get to use the Hilton Honors line when we check in, all those different things, which is great. And I think it's also interesting to point out, going back to the point side of things, I know you specifically use your Amex points for flights and such, but with Hilton and Amex, your points actually transfer 2-to-1. So if you have if you find a stay that's 100,000 points, you actually only need to transfer 50,000 Amex points to get that 100,000. So if you don't want to have to buy up all the points to have this incredible Waldorf Astoria stay, but you don't have all the points in Amex, you could do a combination of using some of your Amex points for the 2-to-1 transfer, as well as buying some points using your strategy. So Germán, I think your breakdown there of how to actually buy points and make that a huge win is awesome. How, without going down the rabbit hole too much, what is that standard reward night that you mentioned? Because I think it's important for people to know what that is.
So the Hilton standard reward nights, they are the cheap nights that you can book using points, but they're only for their standard rooms. So a lot of people, when they watch my deal videos and they see that I can book a stay at a Waldorf Astoria for only 480,000 points, then they go to check the hotel themselves and they're seeing nights that are 500,000 points or 1,000,000 points per night. And that is because a standard room is not available on those dates. So with Hilton, the standard room, usually the most basic room, is the one that is available for purchase at the 100 to 150,000 points per night at any Waldorf Astoria in the world. But their premium rooms, so as soon as the standard room is sold out or it's not available, their premium rooms can also be purchased using points, but the price is typically going to be several hundred thousand points per night to sometimes a couple of million points per night. And obviously the point purchase method will not work on those nights. So you have to find standard room reward nights. And the easiest way to do that is by looking at the Hilton calendar. It's going to show you a standard room reward under the point price. And you can also tell, obviously, by looking at the actual price itself, it'll say 100 or 120,000 points per night opposed to, you know, 1,000,000 points per night. And the fifth night free benefit, it only works on standard room reward nights. Same thing with free night certificates. A lot of people are loving, including me, the Hilton free night certificates. They can bring you a lot of value, but you cannot use them just any night. It has to be a standard room reward night.
German, I absolutely love that breakdown. And that was really insightful how you're able to explain the difference between the standard award night versus, again, it is very easy to look up there and see 1,000,000 points per night and just say, how in the world are we finding this? So that was a great breakdown there. The question for you, you mentioned earlier that Hilton, when you go to buy points, they usually cap you at a certain amount of points per year per account. Would you ever recommend, so let's say someone, it's, you know, almost end of the year right now as we're recording this podcast, this episode, someone hasn't bought any points at all. They go, they see there's a promotion, 100,000 points. They have no planned trips at all for Hilton property. Would you ever recommend someone speculatively buy a whole chunk of points just so they get their quantity in this calendar year before switching to next calendar year? What's your thoughts on that?
So first of all, my first recommendation for Hilton points is get them through credit cards. That's really the best way of getting Hilton points because you're not spending money to buy points. You're getting them organically through spend, through sign-up bonuses. Now, if you're against credit cards or you're not able to apply for a credit card right now, your next best option is buying Hilton points directly from Hilton. And my recommendation for buying points just to keep them in advance, and my recommendation for buying points for the future is usually not to do that because the points and miles game is always changing. The hotels are always introducing new rules of how you can use those points, or they're changing the pricing structure of their hotels. So any day we could see these same Waldorf Astoria resorts that we've been talking about switching from 120,000 points per night to 250,000 points per night. And even if you got 480,000 Hilton points, right? Now you can only get one night if the cost of the night is 250,000 points per night. So I always recommend not to just speculatively buy points just to keep them for the future. Even though it looks like a great deal right now, it may not be a great deal by the time you actually use those points. But there's one thing that you can do, one thing I recommend for people. Let's say you know that you're going on a honeymoon next year, right? But you haven't decided where yet. What I recommend is you can buy the points right now, but book a hotel with them right away. Book a hotel with those points right away because Hilton has very good cancellation policies with their hotels. You can usually cancel for free and get your points back up to sometimes a couple of weeks away from your actual hotel stay. So if you know that you have a honeymoon coming up, but you don't know where you're going yet, you want to utilize the buying points option, buy the points and book a hotel somewhere in the world right away. And then when you've finally decided where your honeymoon is going to be taking place and you've narrowed down the hotel that you want to stay at, cancel the original reservation and then book the new one using the points that you got from, you know, the reservation that you originally made. That way, if something goes south and Hilton changes their rules and, you know, you're no longer able to use your points in the same way that you were able to today, right? At the very least, you're not just sitting on those points that you can't use. At the very least, you have a reservation that you could go to and you could stay at a luxury resort for a fraction of the price.
Hey, it's DeAndre here, and we're going to interrupt this episode real quick to tell you about two great opportunities for all of you. First, join our private Facebook community to connect with fellow points and miles enthusiasts, get exclusive tips and updates, as well as get your questions answered directly by me and others in the community. And if you're looking to level up your points and miles skills, we've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you 50% off their online course that will teach you all the basics you need to know to learn how to travel in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. Don't forget to use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout. You'll find all the details and links to both of these in the show notes. Now, let's get back to our episode. So I want to transition here and talk about a recent trip that you took to Hawaii, right? And I know that you mentioned that you are a big fan of using Chase points for Hyatt stays. And I'd love to hear about your experience with Hyatt properties in Hawaii, but I know that you also didn't actually stay at a Hyatt property, I think, this last trip. So I want to hear about that too. So let's talk about this Hawaii trip. Where'd you go? Did you use points and miles to get there? And where'd you stay? So we'll start there first, and then I want to hear about your experience with Hyatt properties in Hawaii.
I'll start with our flights. We did not use points or miles to get to Hawaii. And on a lot of my Hawaii deal videos, people are saying, well, you know, sure, you're staying at a Waldorf Astoria on Maui for a good deal, but flights there are like $800. And this kind of goes back to my point that I made earlier in the episode, is that you have to be very smart with the way that you use your points or the way that you're booking your travel. So for us, what we did is we got the Southwest Companion Pass deal that they had going on, I believe, back in maybe May, where you fly, if you fly a round trip, they give you a companion pass that you can use for, you know, a few months. And so we got the companion pass deal, and we waited for the Southwest promotion that they had going on in the summer. I forget what it's called, but it's like the every year they have a really good promo where the flights are super cheap. And so we waited to book the flight to Hawaii. We waited until the promotion to book the flight to Hawaii. And so a round trip flight was $380 from Austin to Kauai and back. And then we were able to add me in August as a companion. So my flight, and it's my girlfriend and I, and we split the cost of the original ticket that was $380. So my out-of-pocket cost to fly to Kauai and back was only $190. Super cheap.
That's absolutely incredible.
Yes, yes. That's how we got there. An incredible deal. So again, just, you know, wait for good deals, use your points and use your money wisely, and you can travel, you know, really nice for super cheap if you just do it properly and you're smart about it. Now, as far as the stays on Kauai go, so we spent two nights at an Airbnb. And the reason we did that is because a lot of my followers, they DM me and they ask me, hey, you know, I have a family of five. Every time I look at Hilton or every time I look at Hyatt, there's nothing available for five people or six people or however many people there are in their family. And that's because most rooms only accommodate up to four people. If you put in five people on a Hilton hotel, it's going to say that it's not available because there are no rooms that accommodate that many people. And so a lot of people reach out to me and they ask me, hey, what are your tips for families of five or six people, or maybe like a friend group? How can I get a really good deal on a stay like that for that many people? And so my girlfriend and I, we looked into the different Airbnb options or vacational rental properties on Kauai to see what can people get for their money. And we actually reached out to this vacation rental property and they gave us an incredible deal. We could not pass it up, but we also chose this specific property because it is a very good deal compared to some of the hotel options available on Kauai. And so we spent two nights at the Airbnb and then we moved to Grand Hyatt Kauai, a property that everybody knows in the points and miles world. And we were honestly a little bit disappointed. At least I was, because I heard so much about it. I had very high expectations. And I personally look at the cash rates of a property, and it kind of, it helps me set, it gives me a certain expectation when I see a price point of, say, you know, even $500 per night. When I see $500 per night, it should be an incredible resort. You know what I mean? And so coming into Grand Hyatt Kauai, I saw that the cash rates were, you know, $1,200 to $1,600 per night. I had a certain expectation just from the cash rate alone, but also from all the things that I heard about it, how much buzz there is about the Grand Hyatt Kauai. And I was a little bit disappointed with our stay there. But yeah, that's where we stayed on Kauai.
So I'd love to get into that a little bit, because I've not stayed there specifically. I've stayed at the Hyatt Regency in Maui. That was an incredible, incredible resort. And like you said, everyone in the Points and Miles world, a lot of the content creators, they talk about the Grand Hyatt in Kauai. I'm very curious, what about it for you made it a little underwhelming?
So I've stayed at a lot of different like luxury properties, right? And, you know, after you stay at so many, you start to pick up on things that, you know, people do right and, you know, people do wrong. Like, for example, Andaz Papagayo, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, in Costa Rica, an incredible property. And the staff is so kind and so caring, and the resort itself is very luxurious. It's very nice. But again, the staff, it was incredible. Like, I remember I would be walking back to our room from the spa, and they have these golf carts that like drive people around, drive the guests around. So like you can pick up a golf cart and you can say, hey, can you take me to the restaurant? Or hey, can you take me back to my room? And so I would be walking back from the spa to our room, and a golf cart with a staff member would be coming towards me, and they will stop and they will turn off the golf cart lights so they're not shining in your face or in your eyes. You know what I mean? And it's just like the kind of service that you get at places like that, it's incredible. It makes you feel so special, and it's so luxurious. And that's why I personally love staying at luxury hotels, is because of the service that you get. Like, it's incredible. You feel on top of the world that, you know, somebody, you know, a staff member stopped their golf cart and turned off those lights so you can walk in darkness without, you know, the light shining bright in your eyes. Like, that's incredible, right? And so after staying at, you know, properties of this caliber, you kind of have a certain expectation. When you see a cash rate of, you know, over $1,000, you expect to be kind of pampered, you know what I mean? And it wasn't like that at all. Like, the Grand Hyatt Kauai, I did not think that, you know, the service was anything incredible. Like, it's the kind of service that I would expect at a regular hotel that maybe is $300 per night or something like that. I haven't stayed at a hotel that is $300 per night in Hawaii, so I'm not sure what to expect, as I do know hotels in Hawaii are pretty expensive, relatively speaking, to the mainland. But still, that's the kind of service that we received. And the hotel itself, it was quite outdated. You know, we have Hyatt's globalist status, which gives us access to the club lounge with free breakfast, and it was just very underwhelming. What I will say about that property is that if you have a family, it's an incredible property. If you're not a couple, or if you're not into like luxurious things and you just want, you know, like an island getaway with your kids, they have very big pools. The grounds are beautiful. It's a great property for that. But for us as a couple, you know, we were looking forward to a, you know, like somewhat of a luxurious stay. We knew that the property is older, but we were still expecting, you know, some level of luxury. And I just don't think there's any luxury there, unfortunately.
Got it. I appreciate that breakdown. I've heard similar kind of essences of what you said, probably not as specific, but I really appreciate you breaking that down, because I have heard people say, oh yeah, if you're bringing the kids, that's a great place to go. But I've heard some other content creators that say, but you know, if it was just my spouse and I, we would go here instead. I think there's another high property in Wailea or something like that. I can't remember the exact location. But with that being said, I think it makes sense to explore that, because a lot of our listeners are individuals or families, I should say, with with kids, right? And so they're going to want to go to a place like that. And I think that is something worth being said about the experience of these higher end hotels, whether you book them on points or you paid cash for them. In one of our earlier episodes, we talked about our stay at the Marina Bay Sands in Singapore, right? An iconic hotel that's amazing. And like the experience and the service and the people and the way they treat you, even if you're not on a property with, you know, large grounds and the golf carts, this level of service that you experience, or even the Park Hyatt Maldives, right? They just were about elevating your experience every step of the way. And that is part of what makes the points and miles world, especially on the luxury travel side, so iconic. I will say that's also what makes business class the next level when it comes to traveling as well, right? Because that you get that same level of service in the air. And sometimes we talk about it when we don't get that level of service in the air, right? It also doesn't feel the same. So it applies on the hotel side as well. So I appreciate you sharing that. What did you love the most? Because that Airbnb, I saw the videos of it on Instagram. Place looked absolutely incredible. Can you tell more about that place? Because I mean, it was like a $5 million house or something crazy. I mean, the place looked unreal.
It was incredible. It's a very large place. It's a 4-bedroom house. One of the bedrooms is actually like a little, I don't know if I can call it a guest house, but it's like a separate building that's like right next to the main house. It was incredible. And I've stayed at Airbnbs before. I've never stayed at a luxury Airbnb, but I've stayed at Airbnbs before, and it was okay. You know what I mean? Like, obviously it's good to have your own privacy, but it was never like a luxury experience that you would get in a hotel. We absolutely loved this Airbnb on Kauai because it was like a mix of a luxury hotel with the benefits that you get from having your own place. From check-in to check-out, everything was perfect. It's a very curated experience. It's just like staying at a luxury hotel. That's what it felt like, and we absolutely loved it.
That's perfect. And we'll make sure to get the link to that Airbnb so we can throw in the show notes so the listeners can take a look for that one as well. So Germán, as we start to wrap up here a little bit, I want to hit on one of the pieces I think that's fascinating about your story and the points and miles and the content creation space, which is you grew by 200,000 followers in just a couple months. How? And I know that's a really loaded question, right? Because content creation and Instagram follower growth, no one knows the algorithm, all those different things. But my more specific question as to how is, what do you think makes your content so attractive to those out there that has created such this, you know, rapidly growing following that you've had?
I wish I could tell you exactly what it was, because I personally don't even know. My growth in the last month or so has slowed down significantly. I wish I was still getting 100,000 followers per month. So clearly I don't quite have the formula down yet. But my advice would be to provide value. That's what gets followers. You know what I mean? If you provide value, people like to see that. People like to learn new things. People like to save money. And that's why I feel like a lot of my videos have done well, is because I show people how they can save a lot of money. And another reason why, or another thing that I would suggest, is because I'm very honest with all of my content. So like a lot of points and miles creators, they will make a video and say, here's how I flew from New York to Bangkok for only $5.60. And sure, that's what you paid in taxes, but don't forget about 100,000 points that you spent. And if they're Chase points, for example, that's $1,000 right there. You know what I mean? If you were to convert them to cash. So, you know, in the video that I just posted about Grand Hyatt Kauai, I think a lot of creators would have said, here's how I'm staying here for free. And I'm trying to be as transparent as possible with my content. And so I paid 30,000 points per night. And I said, here's how I'm staying here for $300 per night, because that's the opportunity cost of the points that you're using for your hotel stay. And another part of being honest is, as somebody who is in the points and miles space, and as somebody who owns a business that has a significant amount of spending, right, I'm able to earn a lot of points, and I'm able to spend those points, you know, at very luxurious properties. people who, you know, have regular jobs, who don't have a business that can spend, you know, $10,000 to $15,000 on advertising every month, they aren't able to earn as many points as me, right? And, you know, if somebody saves up 150,000 points and they see somebody make a video about Grand Hyatt Kauai and they say how incredible it is and they only share the good stuff, right? That couple or that family, it might have taken them a year or 2 years to get 150,000 chase points, right? They saved up all these points. They're super excited. They have a certain expectation because a creator or a reviewer has only mentioned the good things about the resort, right? They spend all of their hard-earned points and then they get there and they're like, you know what? Like, this is a little bit disappointing. And that is not how you grow a following on social media. People need to trust you. You know, people need to feel like you have their back. And that's how I create my content. I'm very straightforward. I'm very transparent. I provide value and I'm very honest about things. And I feel like that's what has helped me, you know, grow my following pretty quickly.
German, that was so excellently said. And the fact that you do provide great information, you are transparent, you do something that I don't think I actually see often is you do the, at least for this most recent trip, you do like a daily vlog, right, for it. And that's not something you really see on Instagram, right? Because it's such shorter form videos. That's usually something that you'll see someone do on YouTube, longer form, like for the whole trip. You did like a daily vlog. I think it was 4 or 5 days, but you were able to, in those videos, that sequence, share places you stop for sushi and other things, which is really cool. I want to ask you about any upcoming trips, but before I do, I don't want to forget any amazing places that you guys stopped in Kauai that if the listeners here in the show, they do actually want to get out there. Any places that you want to shout out that you thought was just really incredible, whether it was a hike, whether it was food, whatever it may be, any places that come to mind that you want to shout out?
So on Kauai, there's a little place called the Queen's Bath, and it's essentially a naturally made pool on the north coast of Kauai. And unfortunately, it was closed while we were there, but it seems like a magical place to check out. So I highly recommend that, even though we didn't personally see it. One that we did was the Awa'awa'puhi Trail. That trail is incredible. It's a bit of a hike, 3.25 miles, and you're hiking through essentially the forest the whole time. But at the end of the trail, there's a lookout that is absolutely incredible. So if you're into hiking and you don't mind, you know, a 6 mile trek back and forth just to get to a lookout, we spent over an hour at that lookout, but it is, you know, it's not the most scenic hike because again, you're just, you know, hiking through the trees, but the lookout is incredible. It was well worth it for us. And also on the topic of, you know, being honest and also providing value, I have stayed on Maui a couple of times before, and I personally felt like Maui had a lot more to offer as far as exploring goes. For example, the road to Hana, you can spend so much time on the road to Hana. I mean, we've done it twice and it was usually a 1 day thing. But if you're checking out different spots, I mean, you could, you know, it would take you days to check everything out. And on Kauai, we felt like there was a lot less stuff to check out. And the stuff that we did see, it wasn't quite as incredible as Maui. And again, not to take anything away from Kauai, it's just from my personal experience, again, my personal opinion, and this is just me, you know, for a lot of people, it's going to be quite the opposite. They're going to say Kauai is way better. But for me personally, I like Maui a little bit more just because there was a little bit more exploring to do, a little bit more things to see. So yeah, that I would personally recommend Maui. And I do have a pretty cool story, if we have time, about Maui, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
So my first ever trip on points was a trip to Maui, and we stayed at the Wailea Beach Resort, which is an incredible resort, by the way. I highly, highly recommend this. And this also ties into the point that I made earlier, is hotels change the point structure or the point pricing of their hotels. And Marriott, at the time of this, of my first points and miles trip, had a did not have a dynamic pricing award chart. So basically, you know, there were three different prices that a Marriott could charge. So just like Hyatt currently charges you in off-peak, standard, and peak pricing, that's what Marriott was doing at the time. And so again, don't hoard your points because something might change. But again, at the time, Marriott was charging a flat rate depending on if it's off-peak, standard, or peak pricing. And so we used the Marriott Bonvoy Boundless sign-up bonus. It was, I believe, spend $4,000 and get 5 free nights up to 50,000 points per night. And so we were able to get 4 nights at the Wailea Beach Resort. Incredible resort, highly recommended. Since Marriott has made the changes, you cannot use the 5 free nights there anymore, or at least it's extremely hard. But at the time, we were able to do that. And so absolutely loved it, highly recommended. We were having breakfast at the Kihei Cafe. Again, incredible place, recommend that place as well. We were just loving Maui. And so I was on my phone and I was scrolling through the fine hotels and resorts on Amex to see where could I book a stay on Maui or on Hawaii to use my credits app, because we were loving it so much. It was kind of like a luxury trip and it was our first ever points and miles trip. We were in love with Maui, so we wanted to come back. And so I'm at the cafe and I'm scrolling through different hotels, and because it's fine hotels and resorts, everything is 5 stars, very expensive, you know, $1,000 per night, $1,500 per night, $700 per night. And then I keep scrolling and I see the Ritz-Carlton on Maui, Ritz-Carlton Kapalua Bay, is $329 per night. And I'm like, that is so weird. And again, I'm new to the points and miles space at that time. I think it was 2021. So I'm relatively new to it. And I'm like, Ritz-Carlton, that is a fancy place. And I wonder why it is cheaper than everything else. It's not cheap. $329 is still a significant amount. It's not cheap, but it is way cheaper than anything you could find on fine hotels and resorts. And so I was doing a little bit more research into the hotel, on fine hotels and resorts. I was looking at different dates and I figured out there's this 1 week in May of, I believe, 2022, 1 week that's $300 per night and everything else is like $1,200 to $1,500 per night. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get back to the hotel after our breakfast. I'm going to get on my computer and I'm going to figure out why this week is so much cheaper. Maybe they're doing like a construction at the resort at that time. Like I want to figure out why it's so much cheaper during these dates. And I get back to the hotel and I changed and I checked the same exact dates and it's $1,329 per night. And it hit me. They forgot the one. It was a mistake rate. So instead of $1,329 per night for those dates, it was $329 per night. And I was so upset. I'm like, I cannot believe I didn't just book it, because you have a cancellation policy. Like, I should have just booked it as soon as I saw it. And then for the rest of the trip, I kept on checking, and it came back twice. I ran up to the room to my computer, tried to book it twice. By the time I got back, they had fixed the rate. And then on the third time, I was finally able to book, I believe, 6 or 7 nights at the Ritz-Carlton Kapalua Bay for $329 per night. And we came back to Maui a year later with some friends. Ritz-Carlton, again, on the point of being transparent and honest, I felt like it was a little bit of a letdown, and a lot of people will agree with me. I think a lot of people say that it is not a true Ritz-Carlton experience. The property is a little bit outdated. The service is not as great as your typical Ritz-Carlton service, and I would recommend the Wailea Beach Resort instead of the Ritz-Carlton. But yeah, that's how we were able to stay at the Ritz-Carlton for a week for a fraction of the price. Just a mistake rate, just happened to see it. It happens. They honored it. So just be checking hotels, just be checking for prices, and something might come up.
You never know what you're going to find. I love that. Germán, before we wrap up, any amazing upcoming trips you and your girlfriend have planned? Any really cool redemptions, bucket list destinations that you guys have coming up here?
The only trip that we have planned right now is a trip to Cancun for a wedding in December. We don't have that planned out yet, but I am working on something pretty cool. So we'll see if we can make it happen. As far as bucket list trips go, I would love to visit Bali, Alila Villas, Uluwatu. I mean, that's a dream property that I really wanted to visit. And I've heard incredible things about Bali. So that's definitely up there on my to-do list. And then let's see, Maldives. I really want to visit the Maldives and stay at the Park Hyatt or the Alila. I've been doing quite a bit of research into those two properties to see which one I would want to stay at. Let's see, what else? I think those are kind of like the two. Oh, I want to do the JW Masai Mara in Kenya. That's another one that I really want to go to. I've never been to South Africa. So I think that would be incredible.
Awesome. Well, two of those three locations. Well, actually, we stayed at the Alila Seminyak in Bali. That was an incredible place. Had a great time there. Was going to stay at the one that you mentioned, the other Alila, but the location of where it was, in retrospect to our agenda, was going to make it a little bit out of our way for what we had going on. But the Park Hyatt Maldives, one of the most incredible places we've stayed, and especially with you having globalists, like they, so we were explorers, but one of our good friends had globalists, so gave us the Member of Honor benefit. So we were globalists for when we were there, and we were greeted by the general manager at the dock, we had our own golf cart. So we got there by boat after our airplane, and they put us on a separate golf cart than the other people on the boat. They were like six people that had to share their golf cart to go to their rooms, but the two of us, so my fiance and I, we got to go just directly to our villa. Absolutely incredible place. And they're using points. Honestly, I think the beach villas are actually much nicer than the overwater villas there. And so I think you're going to have an incredible time. And we actually have a whole breakdown of that on our Maldives part one episode, and then of our Bali episode as well. Absolutely incredible experience. The Park Hyatt was insane. It was a great place to stay.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm super excited. Hopefully someday soon.
So German, a lot of great information on today's episode. Where can the listeners follow you and get your advice directly when you break down places to stay, how to buy points for discounts, and then just general points and miles knowledge?
I post on Instagram and TikTok, and I am getting into YouTube as well, YouTube Shorts. I just found out today that YouTube Shorts are now over a minute long. You can post them as of October 15th. You can make YouTube Shorts that are at least 3 minutes long. So you better believe all of my content is going on YouTube as well. And as far as just us traveling and, you know, keeping up to date, you can follow me on Instagram, and you can also follow my girlfriend on Instagram. We both post travel related stuff and points and miles stuff. So you can follow us there.
Perfect. We will link all of that in the show notes. Two questions before we finish that we always end every show in. The first question, German, so you were shouted out previously by Elliot, who owns Hack My Honeymoon, who's on a previous episode. Want to know who in the travel points and miles space, they could just be content creators, they can be points and miles users, or they could just be a family that travels the world. Who should we have on the show?
That's a great question. I would probably say, obviously, you know, there's the big name people out there like Max Miles Points. He provides really good content, and, you know, his production value is very high up there. It's, you know, it's pleasant to watch. One person, I don't think they have much of a following, but she's we've chatted in the DMs a couple of times, and she is very smart, incredibly smart. It's crazy how many super smart people there are that aren't big, but they just have so much knowledge. Like I always say, I don't even know the half of it. You know what I mean? There's just a couple of things that I've kind of mastered that work well for me, but I don't know everything. And there are incredibly, incredibly smart people. I'd love to share, her Instagram with you, but.
Do you remember her name?
I can look it up. Probably like a thousand followers or so, and not much of a creator, but just very smart with flights. She knows a lot. I'll definitely share her info with you. Another one that comes to mind, I've seen his videos pop up a little bit. It's Points Pat, I believe. He makes really good videos. I think most of his videos are about flights, but very easy to follow, very easy to understand, because that's super important, because a lot of people who are just now getting into credit card points and credit cards, you know, it can be very overwhelming, and watching content that's easy to understand and easy to follow is super important. And I think some of his videos are, you know, very easy to understand. So I would definitely recommend looking into him.
Awesome, German. This was great. This was a little bit longer than our normal episodes, but you provided an incredible wealth of knowledge, especially in the hotel booking side of things, and also just being transparent and sharing some pretty amazing stories. Last question for you. Any final thoughts, any last things you want to say to listeners before we wrap this one up?
I would say that definitely do your research in all aspects of credit cards. So applying for credit cards, how it affects your credit score, how you earn points, and how you spend points. You have to be educated and you have to be very smart about it. And as mentioned earlier, you have to be very financially disciplined. And this hobby is incredible. I am traveling and I'm staying at some places that I could never afford otherwise. And so many other people are doing that. We're traveling like the rich for cheap, using points. It can be incredible, but you also have to be smart. Do not overspend. Do not spend money that you wouldn't spend otherwise. And just be smart from start to finish, from applying to credit cards to using your points. Have to be very smart with it.
Be smart with your finances, be smart with your credit card usage. And if you do those two things and embrace the points of miles world, you can travel in luxury like German, like myself, and like many other people. German, thank you so much for all the knowledge, all the information that you've provided today. It's been amazing having you on the show. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
Absolutely. And for the listeners out there, make sure to connect with German, especially if you want his breakdown of how to get really incredible resorts at a discount by using hotel points, and just to see his incredible stories, his videos, the places that him and his girlfriend have gone, and all the tips that he offers. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. Tell your friends, give us a rating, and we'll see you on the next episode. Have a good one.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.